And welcome to episode 28.1
nice.
Of Up and In,
nice.
The Baseball Prospectus Podcast. The audio is not so good here, folks. We're in a little recorder. We have no editing capabilities. We're just doing this. This is super DIY. Mm-hmm. In Orlando, Florida, I'm Kevin Goldstein. Joining me from Orlando, Florida, it's Jason Parks. Jason, say hello to the internet.
Howdy.
Sweet. So, this will be a quick show for you. We're going to talk about what's been going on in the news today. We'll skip the housekeeping, get right to the emails, because we have emails already.
Good.
So our,
good for those people.
We did get an email from Scott who wanted to know why we didn't cover the Indians' top 11. It's because the winter meetings are going on. There's trades and stuff, and so we're not going to get to those until episode 29. This is not an official episode, people.
It's a good system. It's built on depth. It's not a great system. You can wait.
Okay, so we talked about the Indians, and then we got a tweet from the game, 92677, which is very catchy.
What the fuck is that?
And he asked if there's any way for us to share our favorite quotes about that we've heard so far in the winter meetings.
No.
And I have one.
Do you?
I do.
I don't have one. I won't do that.
Okay. I was walking in the lobby on my way to go outside for a second.
It's creepy how you're talking to me, and yet you're talking into the recorder.
The dynamic is strange because we've never been in the same.
Because you're looking right at me.
We normally don't look at each other when we record because we're not in the same area. We've actually found like a little dark corner of the Swan Hotel.
It's a little too dark.
It's a little dark. There's a Christmas tree. There's people cleaning up around the place. And so, but my favorite quote, so I was walking down the lobby. See, we can't edit. This is so bad. I was walking in the lobby, and an agent who I know grabbed my arm and said, "I'm going to be looking for you later. I need to talk to you about something." And then he let go of me.
I don't know what to say to that.
Neither do I.
Do I know this agent? Is it the agent that...
No.
Because another agent gave me a money quote that I tweeted earlier about how catcher for the Rangers, Kellen Deglin, is the next Scott Hurd. Now he'll never get out of A-ball. And it was just a terrible pick in that he wouldn't have been drafted in the first round. He would have fallen to at least the third round, and nobody wanted him. That half of the organizations in baseball had red flags on him, and yet Texas drafted him, gave him $1 million at 22. Awesome. It's always great to hear.
Great, great, great quote.
Let's talk about the actual news we've had.
And let's do that.
Most of this news...
Look at me while you talk to me. Because it helps. Because we're sitting really close.
We're very close. It's intimate. And most of the news took place, actually, over the weekend before we got here. There's some dude walking by talking to his phone all loud. But the biggest story was the Adrian Gonzalez trade, obviously. And the Padres sent their three prospects to San Diego for Adrian Gonzalez. It's a strange trade in the sense that, you know, they got one of the best players in all of baseball, one of the top three hitters, in my opinion, in baseball, to go to Boston.
Agreed.
But
he's a wizard with the glove, too. It's not like he can't pick it over there.
Outstanding player. And they did not give an elite-level prospect back.
No.
But that's just because they didn't have one. They still got Boston's best pitching prospect, they got Boston's best hitter, and they got a high-upside guy.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really happy with the haul they received. I think it's okay. It's not great. I think that... Theo's got to be just elated pulling that off. I mean, come on. I like Kelly. I've been on record liking Kelly. But this is not an elite guy. This is a command control guy. And I know that, you know, people have been talking because I think Keith Law had him ranked 10 overall. I just can't agree with that. I don't – rankings are, you know, snapshots anyway. But Kelly is a command control guy. He's not a guy who is going to be at the top of a rotation, although I guess he could be at the top of – San Diego's rotation, and that he's perfect for that park. But this is not a guy that I think the Red Sox are going to go, you know, hell, we gave away a blue chipper. I don't think he's to that level.
Yeah, I like him a lot, but I agree with you. I don't think he's a – there's nothing ace level about him. He's more of a guy who has – there's no weakness in him. He's got a chance to be a guy with three average to plus pitches and true plus command. That's a pretty
good – Great feel for the mound. I mean, just – great glove, too.
Yeah, super-duper athlete. Obviously, he could have been a first-round pick as a shortstop. And so, you know, I mean, Theo Epstein had a quote today where he said, you know, trading away Kelly and Rizzo was a real gut punch for him.
No, it wasn't.
My ass. I mean, I'm sure they were high-fiving each other when they got this guy.
And he's not even their best first baseman.
Right, and so it changes everything. And the other story that came now is, it's not a story yet, it's just more gobbledygook and rumor, is the fact that it's Monday night, it's almost midnight, and Cliff Lee is still unassigned, if you will.
Right, and I think that that's going to change in the next couple of days. There's tons of rumor out there about some mystery team stepping forward with a 7-year contract. We can guess to who the team is, but also reports out there that neither the Yankees nor the Rangers will go that 7th year. But it doesn't matter because he's either going to sign with the Yankees or the Rangers. He's not going to sign a 7-year deal with the Nationals. Not going to happen.
You're probably right. But yet, the biggest, the one thing that everyone's talking about the most, because I think it's had an effect on all of baseball right now, it's affected the whole market, is a 7-year deal. And that's the 7-year deal that happened.
Segue.
A nice segue, huh? Is the 7-year deal that happened with Washington.
Right.
With Jason Wirth, and
people are pissed off.
You and I have hung out a lot today. Mm-hmm. I gave you a ride from the airport to your whatever little resort you're at.
It's a resort. It's nice.
It was nice. It looked nice.
My room at this resort is larger than my apartment. This is actually funny. I'm gonna get into this real quick. I have like this. It's like a king bed in this one room, the bedroom, and there's a sunken tub and a shower and a closet. Yeah. I didn't tell you that?
You have a sunken tub?
Yes. Jacuzzi.
Oh, shit.
A living room, full kitchen, washer, dryer, and then there's like this other room. I don't know what it was. I thought it was leading to another room, and I open it, and it's like these two twin beds. It's like a little kid's room. So I'm going to have some kids over. Watch over them.
But since then, after you got some food, you came back here. We've hung out a lot.
Yeah.
And we've been, you know, working the lobby and meeting people and do a lot of meet and greets.
Drinking.
And people are talking. Whenever you talk to anyone, the first thing I want to talk to you about is Jason Wirth, 7 years, $126 million. And they all have the same thing to say, which is some sort of, some variation of, are you fucking kidding me?
Right. But yeah, I haven't talked to anybody who doesn't have a comment on it. And it's all negative. It's all, can you believe this?
Okay, we're back from dropping the recorder.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day. But, you know, people are saying this is, you know, screwing us up after, you know, because we want to sign Cliff Lee or Carl Crawford.
Or anybody.
Or anybody, and the market just changed dramatically.
No, Beltre's going to want 7 years, and he should get it because he's a superior player.
It's a good point. And then,
actually, you have a good point about why Wirth is not a superior player.
Well, it's not even my point. It was tweeted by some other people. I'm not going to take credit for
modern
it.
Modern age.
Right. This is the age where you take credit for something you read on Twitter by somebody else. But former podcast guest Joe Sheehan and former podcast guest Keith Law were talking about the Jason Wirth trade, mm-hmm. or the Jason Wirth contract. And I was just amazed by this. You think about what they just committed to. Jason Wirth has played enough games, or gotten enough at-bats, I guess, to qualify for the batting title. Twice in his career.
It's insane.
Jason Wirth has 692 career hits. And that's the guy you're getting 7-126.
I can't even comment. I have no idea. I mean, I understand why the Nationals had to overpay to get a guy like that to sign with them in the first place. But that doesn't make it a good deal. It doesn't make it good for the other teams in baseball who now also have to deal with the Nationals as far as trades go. I mean, who would, in their right mind, after a team jacks up the market like this for a guy like Jason Wirth, is going to be eager to make a deal and sit down and say, you know what? You've been really fair to every team in baseball. Let's make a deal. You're a reasonable organization. That Wirth deal was reasonable for everyone involved. Oh, you know, I wanted to give Beltre an 8-year deal. At 23 per. I wanted to do that. But now, thanks to you, I can. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. The Nationals.
But you know what? It's not Washington's responsibility to make everyone else's life easier.
No, it's not. But it isn't their job to grossly overpay for a player that doesn't nearly have that value.
I think it might kind of be their job. I think it's a bad contract, but if you are the Nationals, and you are a team like the Nationals or the Pirates or the Orioles who's perpetually bad, who can't get the best free agents, you have to go crazy. You have to get that very first guy, you have to pay crazy, crazy money, which will get you out of that we are a horrible embarrassment team level to the point where you might actually be able to give reasonable contracts to guys who will be finally willing to come play for you.
See, I'm not sure that's the case because I think that they're showing that they're doing that through the developmental department and the draft. And I think that by giving lucrative contracts to a 17-year-old kid and the best college pitcher of all time, you know, putting that type of money into two players and, you know, having some pretty decent drafts lately, I think that that's the way to build the team. I think that's the way to get people to want to sign with you, not overpaying for the Jason Worths of the world.
And Worth's agent, Scott Boras, called it a presidential contract, which I just loved. I don't even sure what it means.
That's excellent. I don't even know what that means either.
I really do. I actually think, I'm not sure, but I think Scott Boras actually has a writer. I'm fairly certain of it. You know, the other two big rumor stories, well, I guess one because it's something that people are talking about, one that people aren't talking about, but, you know, rumors about Zach Greinke are all over the place. And the Rangers, the Braves, now, you know, people, a lot of rumors that once the Blue Jays traded Sean Markham for Brett Lawrie, they were trying to prepare some sort of prospect flip for Greinke. And by all accounts, it seems like the Royals are at least answering the phone when it comes to Zach Greinke, but they are asking for the world and more.
I think that they should. I mean, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be asking for the world. They don't have to trade him, you know. And just because the prospects or, you know, major league players that your team is offering up, you know, because that's being laughed off or rejected by the Royals, you know, so what? The Royals don't have to accept your who you think is has the right value for Greinke. For in the Rangers' case, you know, they're offering supposedly Martin Perez, who I don't believe for a fact that he's off the table. I think that he has to be on the table. So if you hear that he's not on the table, well, he has to be on the table. There's no deal without him. When you have Martin Perez and Tanner Shepherds and Jerickson Profar, and you hear that, you know, the Royals don't think that's enough and you think that's asinine, well, it's not. It's not asinine because the Royals don't have to take that. They could ask for Derek Holland. They could ask for another player. And you know what? Some team eventually is going to pony up to the bar and they're going to overpay. Probably the Nationals. They'll probably put in Worth and Strasburg and Harper. They'll do that. And then they'll kick in money, maybe $100 million. But somebody will pony up for Greinke that the price is an overpay. And if the Royals had, look, it's a lottery ticket for this team. They're building a really impressive farm system. They have a chance to absolutely, you know, hit a home run here and pull a Teixeira haul, pull something. They don't have to settle for the three prospects that you think are of equal value. They don't have to do that. This is their chance, and so why not play hardball and get something badass?
I agree with that. I think it's a very good point. And then we were talking before we hit the record button and before we dropped the recorder once.
Right.
About how...
And in between.
And in between.
Right.
But you were talking about the one name who you're not hearing at all down in the lobby, ever.
Justin Upton. This is a guy who, leading up to these meetings, it was out there. It was, what do you think you could get? Why are the Diamondbacks looking to move this guy? What's the story there? I mean, we talked about it on one of the podcasts. I don't listen to the podcast, so I have no idea which one it was. But we were talking about how it was out there. I haven't heard a single person mention Upton's name. I haven't heard any casual conversation about it. Nothing. Is this not even an option? Are teams not kicking this around? Or is this something that is going to be the surprise in the next couple of days? It's like, oh, my God. Upton was traded to the Yankees for nothing.
Or is it just off the table in the sense that, you know, Arizona is clearly doing something. You know, they trade Mark Reynolds today to the Orioles for a couple middle relievers, big league middle relievers, but that's all they are. So, I mean, they're taking calls. They're doing something. Is it possible that they're just up? They have no interest in trading Upton. Then that, you know, just the story that he was even available in the first case was way overstated.
No, I think that they would have interest in trading Upton. They obviously want to bring back major league talent, which is odd because I think that they could hit a home run with this. Obviously, they don't have to trade him either. So it's not like they have to make a move. I know fans of teams want their team to make a move at the winter meetings. It's exciting. It would be exciting if, you know, an Upton trade did go down because that lobby would go crazy and people would start doing keg stands. You know, and I want to see that. I want to be a part of that.
Well, before we go, since we've kind of gone through the news so far, and again, this is almost all this happened yesterday. It's been a very slow news day today, right, which often happens on the first day when everybody's here. Mm-hmm. But you talked about keg stands, talked about the lobby. This is my seventh winter meetings. This is your first time you've ever been in the winter meetings. obviously coming into this, you had images in your mind of what the winter meetings are. I tried my best to give you a little tour, took you upstairs, showed you all the media stuff, and showed you where the lobby is. And then since then, we've been spending some time meeting and greeting and stuff like that. Is it what you expected? Is it something different?
There's actually more women than I expect. No, I'm not joking. There are more. I thought this was just going to be a total sausage fest. And that, it's not the case. There are actually a lot of women here, which I think is a good thing. I'm not sure what capacity everybody's working in, because everybody has badges, and you have to really get into a conversation with someone to get where they're coming from. So it's hard for me to say. The diversity is a plus. Obviously, I'm probably the best dressed here. And I wish there were more diversity on that front. But my my overall impression is that it's... it's interesting. There's just a lot of baseball people who are obviously really, really excited to talk baseball, and I'm always down for that. And I've enjoyed that quite a bit. I've met a lot of people that I got to put the face to the either the voice or the Twitter exchange, because I have a lot of friends that via Twitter only that I've been able to face up with, which is nice.
And some people I've introduced you to listen to the podcast, but you also seem to have had a very little special moment down in the lobby at one point where I came down and someone came up and recognized you and knew who you were.
Yeah, it was weird. This guy came up and
very tan guy. Very, very tan. He was the tannest kid I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, there was a little George Hamilton going on there, but like a younger George Hamilton, obviously, not the older George Hamilton, when he just started to bronze. Like Ron Eli, Man of Bronze. That's a really obscure reference. Most people don't. Doc Savage. Ron. Okay. I was doing something on my phone, probably whatever, and I hear Professor, and I look up, and it's, I think it's either going to be, Kevin or, somebody that I know here, and it wasn't. It was this George Hamilton kid, and he said, big fan, I just wanted to... Don't want to, cramp your style, just big fan of the podcast, and I wanted to introduce myself and say how much I really enjoy what you do, and I learn a lot from you guys, and this was actually before Kevin was down. Were you down?
No, I was in the media room. I came down while you were still talking to him.
Right, because I was drinking with Jorge, and then I moved off to the side because they went to go eat, and I was spotted. And I had a really interesting conversation with this guy for... about half an hour, about he's here to do the job fair thing. And I said if something positive comes of it, then he should come on the podcast and tell us all about it. Because he put the segment about from last week.
Robert Ford.
Right, and how it motivated him and really inspired him to want to chase this, and how he thinks it's possible, and he thought it was so cool, and I thought that was awesome.
That's great. I met a kid who I also hear from the job fair who is an aspiring broadcaster, who had Robert. And same story about how he's here and he's kind of pumped after hearing Robert's story. But other than that, we're going to end this thing early. I mean, we don't have a musical guest. We have no pop culture moment.
No.
There's no pop culture in Orlando. There's no culture in Orlando. It's just Disney. No. So, Jason, and we will hope to get this up and talk to you tomorrow. But for now, say goodbye to the internet.
Goodbye.
And thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. And, of course, we'll have a real episode, the real episode 29, next week.